and we enter into the year 2009. Did you ever think you'd live to see the year 2009? I remember when I was born in 1939, I'm 70 this year. I remember when I was born thinking, I don't really believe I'll ever see the year 2000. Because I will be 61 years of age, and that's anciently old. And I honestly, that's not a thought that I had today trying to transpose back there. I thought, you know, I don't really believe I'll ever see the year 2000. And here we are, nearly at the year 2010. And it's an amazing mindset. And so what I want us to do is to talk about this new year that lies before us and talk about this new year at Palm Beach Lakes. Now, we're going to look at Psalms 85. We're not going to look at it right now, but you might want to grab a pew Bible and open it up to Psalms 85. We'll begin in verse 6. Take out your own Bible. You might want to make notes in the margin there, because there's some pretty good things in this chapter that we'll be looking back. But before we come back to Psalms 85, let's talk a little bit about life. You know, we need to take time to just think about what life is all about. And I'm not talking about just physical life. I'm really talking about the matter of our spiritual life. We need to reflect on the matter of spiritual life. Because if we don't, there's just no way to overemphasize the importance of doing this. You know, if we don't take time to think about where we are spiritually, we are harming ourselves and we may be destroying where we are. Now, as you think about life, you need to have a realization that the understanding of life comes from the Bible. Now, you can go to all of these self-help books that have been written, and some of them, because they are biblically based and contain biblical truth, may be of help to you. But the greatest understanding about what life is all about is found in the book itself. And I've found in my life, and maybe you have too, that there's one book in the Bible where God lets a man open up his heart, and you can look inside his heart and learn what life is. I'm talking really about David and the book of Psalms. You know, it's very difficult in this time, in this day and age, to... What's women's number one complaint? My husband just won't talk to me. Here David opens up his heart. And in 150 Psalms, of which he wrote the most of them, he opens up his heart and he says, you want to see what godliness is all about? And there have been those times in my life when I've been so troubled that I hardly knew where to turn. And you open up the book of Psalms and there's a psalm there. It's your very prayer. And then there have been those times of great joy and I really didn't know how to express the joy. And I'd open up the book of Psalms. Evidently in the book of Psalms is every emotion that one can find. And I think especially that is important for us to understand. Now, as you think about life, if I say the expression, life is not always on the mountaintop, you know what I'm talking about? You understand what I have in mind when I say, as you think about life and as you think about you living your life, it's not always a mountaintop experience. Mountaintop experience is when everything is absolutely wonderful. You know, you've climbed to the top of Mount Everest in your life, and there you see the sun rise over there in the east, and the snow is there, and you look down, and you can see halfway around the world. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. That's a mountaintop experience. Mountaintop experiences is when you're 5 years of age, and you get to have your picture made with Mickey Mouse at Disney. Life's not living on a mountaintop. Sometimes you seemingly get to the top of the mountain and the ice storm comes and there you're frozen and you never ever get to see the sunrise and you're driven off the mountain before you ever reach the top. But we need to understand that. We also need to understand that when we're in the valleys of life, that life is going to get better. But the difficulty is that when we get in the valleys, we're sort of content to stay there. You know, we just sort of give up. And, you know, we're on that mountaintop and now we've sort of slipped back down. And we may not even recognize how things were when we're up on the top of the mountain. And so sometimes it's hard and it takes a lot of energy to get to the mountaintop. And it's a whole lot easier to sit down in the valley and just, well, I'll take whatever happens in my life. I just give up. I'm ready to quit. You stop and think about how that can easily happen to our life. And we may not even know that we've, and we may have lost the ability to climb higher. But we've got to do it. And that's where Psalms 85 comes in. As you begin thinking about Psalms 85, and you begin thinking about life and about making this year a year in which your life is really, really changed. And it's not a life spent in the valley where you've just thrown your hands up in despair and think, nothing good's happening to me. I want us to look at Psalms 85 and come to an understanding that even David himself in one of the Psalms said, I almost lost my faith. I looked out here and here were the wicked and they were doing a whole lot better than the righteous were, and I just about lost my faith. That's that question, why Lord, why me, why right now, why is this happening? That's those valley experiences. The rest of that Psalm, David says, I went to the house of the Lord, I got inside the Word and I had some understanding about some of these things. And so you look at Psalms 85. And there are two truths that immediately come from this. And that is, when God speaks, we need to listen. And we do not need to speak and tell God what ought to be happening in the world and in our lives. I'm not saying we ought not to pray. But we have got to understand that the Almighty God in heaven has spoken. In verse 8, David says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. You know how to climb a mountaintop? Do you know how to have the best year you've ever lived in your life? It's the ability to listen to God. God cannot lie. God made us and God's given us the manual of life, and God will help us understand how we ought to walk, what we ought to do in life's circumstances. And sometimes, because this manual has been sort of left down in the valley and you know, we haven't opened it up, I haven't spent much time inside, we're not listening to what God's... And it may be that sometimes we get into the valley simply because we're not listening to God. You want to have a good year? Then let God speak and let you listen. But there's another thing is, and that is we need to understand how close salvation is. Salvation is near. Look at verse 9. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him. Now I understand that salvation sometimes in the Old Testament had to do with just physical salvation from the Canaanite nations that were around them. But do you understand how near salvation is to you? You know, if you haven't become a Christian, salvation is as near as a decision that you could make this very morning. And you could be washed in the blood of Jesus. And every mistake you've ever made, He'll wash it away in His blood. That's how close salvation is. And if you're not saved, why not begin this year as one who's faithful, one who's been saved? But many of you have already obeyed the gospel and already been washed in the blood, baptized into His death where His blood was shed. You understand how close salvation is? You are one heartbeat away from heaven. Do you know how great it is to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes? Do you understand the blessing there is of being at a place where there are people that have the same kinds of attitudes and the mindset that you have, and they're really trying to live right and they're trying to do right, and you ask them advice about life and they're there and they say, well, have you ever thought about what God said here? And you stop and you think about what God has said in these matters, and they're people of like mind. Do you understand that this place is a place of salvation? We never end a service, do we? Without a song of invitation to say, won't you come and won't you be saved today? It's a place of salvation. And we need to understand how close we are to eternal salvation. There's something else to remember in this new year. And that is the glory of God dwells among us. That's what Psalms 85 said. Look at verse 9, the latter part of verse 9 that says, His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. When you think of that, do you understand that the glory of God dwells in Palm Beach Lakes? Or you understand that the very reason we hear is because there's a holy God in heaven who sent His only begotten Son, and that we're trying to glorify Him and glorify Him in our lives, and that the glory of God is manifested in this place. Isn't that what happened? We assemble here, and in a while we'll be spread it out all over this county and in some in adjoining counties. And you know what happened? The glory of God is taken. The glory that is in this place is taken and is spread all over this area. You want to think about the new year? Then see yourself, and let us see ourselves in this congregation as a place where God is going to be glorified. Folks, it cannot get any better than that. But look again at Psalms 85. Psalms 85 talks about four eternal attributes. Look in verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Isn't that what our Bible classes are all about? And isn't that the emphasis that we find in this place, an emphasis that we need to have in our own lives? Where we learn about being merciful, and where we learn about truth, and where there is righteousness, and where there is that peace that passes all understanding. And you take these, and like golden rings, they are intertwined. Mercy. But not mercy that says you can live any lifestyle you want to, but mercy and truth tied together. But not truth without mercy, where somebody's attitude is, well, I can prove from the Bible you're going to hell, and I'm glad that I'm right and you're wrong. Oh, no. But a place, because God is among us, we manifest the glory of God and the mercy of God and the righteousness of God and the truth of God, and we enjoy the peace of God. But look again. Increase is found in His pathways. Verse 12 and 13. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway. Do you know what God's promised to us? That He will work among us. And that because we're there trying to walk in His pathways, that we will have this victory that every one of us longs to have. And so we talk about the new year. We've looked at Psalms 85. Let's look at our lives together. And as we have Psalms 85 in the background, let's talk about our lives together in reference to the new year. And we have selected as a new year a theme. And it's that very theme that the rest of this lesson is going to try to emphasize to every one of us, the emphasis we're going to try to make this year. Because God is here. Because God dwells among us and God will help us. And because there's mercy and truth and righteousness and faith, and the glory of God is manifested here at Palm Beach Lakes. And so as we've talked and planned together about the new year, we've looked at it and we thought, what does Palm Beach Lakes need? What emphasis do we need to make in this new year? Well, I suggest to you in the first place that because faith is the victory that overcomes our faith, overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. That every one of us in this new year need to work on our faith. If faith is the victory that overcomes, and I'm struggling. If faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and in my world is, and you fill in the blanks, in my world is the loss of some loved one. In my world is the loss of my job. In my world is disappointment about myself because of the sin that's in my life that I wish I could get rid of. Faith is the victory. You remember the faith that you had when you were baptized? You remember the joy that you had and how close you felt to God? Surely there ought to be some way that we can get back and build that faith. I tell you what else we need. We need each other. And we got the word fellowship in quotation marks because the word communion, the word fellowship, has more biblical emphasis to this table than it does to the tables in the family room. There's communion there. Here's the real communion. But you and I need to understand that there is that fellowship that we need each other. Have you ever noticed how often in the Bibles they ate together? Have you ever noticed how Jesus spent 3.5 years with His disciples and He's with them every day? And Paul was there in Ephesus and he was there for 3 years and he says, "Was I not daily with you?" In some way in this new year, in a world in which every one of us have committed ourselves so that we hardly have any spare moments that belong to us, that we can have any choice at all about how we're going to spend it. You go to work and then you got to stop at the store on the way home and you got to buy groceries, and when you get home there's problems that are there that need to be addressed, and one thing after another until all of a sudden something that at one time might have been a part of your life was not there. And in this new year, you're going to hear a lot about the word hospitality. Because as we began to think about what does Palm Beach Lakes need, even though we're unbelievably close to each other, we need to be closer. You know why? Because somebody's mate is going to die this year. God forbid that somebody's child is going to die. We know not what the future holds economically. Some may lose their houses. Some may lose their jobs. Some may lose the direction in their life and they're passed over in the workplace and the job given to somebody else less meaningful. And God forbid there'll be some who will lose their mate in divorce. And somebody might be arrested. Some loved one, some child, some person might be arrested. Folks, we need each other. And as we think about Palm Beach Lakes in the new year and try to develop a theme, a fellowship, a theme for the new year, it is a theme that involves fellowship. And then it is a theme that involves commitment and involvement. We cannot be characterized as a group of people who sort of play church. I used to do that when I was a child. I preached many a sermon to my dog. I remember getting soda crackers and grapeette, little grape soda, sitting out under the shade tree out there in the backyard. And I'd preach to my cousin, and she'd preach back to me some things we didn't fully understand. And I'd baptize her. Oh, we didn't really get in the water, but man, I baptized her in my, on dry land. I immersed her several times. The dog was harder. But you know what happened? If all of a sudden mama came and said, "Hey, I'm going down here to the five and dime store. You want to buy something down? You want to go to the store and get something? Forget church." Because I was playing church. Do you know what I need? Do you know what you need? Do you know what this church needs? Is a year where we don't play church. That we're really committed to it. That it's not some superficial thing. Somebody says, "Where do you go to church?" "Oh, I go down there on Leo Lane." And the mindset almost becomes, and you know what they do down there? Instead of the mindset, and let me tell you what we are doing there for God. It's the they concept versus the we concept. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. That's that commitment that we make. How are we going to do it? Well, there are some changes that are going to be made as we go back and talk about this matter of the renewal of faith. If faith comes from hearing the Word of God, then we have got to find a better way to learn the Bible. One of the changes that's going to come about is a change that we'll be announcing tonight. That's why for the last 2 weeks we have emphasized again and again asking every member to plan to be here tonight. When a brand new program that is designed to increase our faith that comes from hearing the Word of God will be introduced. Before I describe that, let me mention also that there's a change that's coming about on Wednesday nights. And that is, on Wednesday night, beginning this Wednesday night, we'll not go to class immediate first. We'll be assembling here first. And then because of the consciousness of time, when that bell rings at 8 o'clock, because you've gone to class when the bell rings at 8 o'clock, then you will be able to get your kids home and let them study. You will be able to have a known stop time in relationship to that. We're going to modify the first part of that service. But let me just say in passing, by the way, those of you who are teaching down in the little children's class, don't you go down there and sit down there and wait till your children come in. You go ahead and get your classroom ready, and at 7 o'clock, let's all be down here. Because we need each other. And the children that you're going to teach in class needs to see you sitting in here at 7 o'clock singing and being a part of what's happening here. But let's talk about tonight. David and I have spent literally hundreds of hours trying to devise a program that will help us increase our faith by increasing our knowledge of the Word of God. And we've called some of you by name. Rick and Melinda, we've talked about Cody. And how can Cody learn the Bible better? I don't know how many times Cody's name's been mentioned. And I'm so sorry you're headed to Hawaii to win that golf tournament out there. But there are other little Codys in this building. And Joe, we've talked about you. We've talked about Gorman. We've talked about those who have recently come into the church. And is there some way to develop a program that will increase your faith? And we've talked about the rest of our young people. How can this program help those who are in junior high and senior high? We've talked about those who've been in the church for years. I don't know of any woman on earth that knows the Old Testament better than June Pack does. And June, I guarantee you're going to learn some things about the Bible that you never even thought were in the Word of God. But to understand how that's going to function, you just got to be here. I can't take time to describe it. But it'll be very, very interactive. We'll have an abbreviated front end of the service where we'll have the invitation, where we will have the Lord's Supper. And then the program is devised to be interactive to keep every one of us growing in Christ. Increased Bible knowledge provides the opportunity for increase in faith. Can I say that again? Increased Bible knowledge provides the opportunity for increase in faith. And if I want my faith increased, if I want to be able to handle what happens in my life this year, and if this church wants to be able to handle what happens in its life this year, if you want to be able to what happens in your life this year, there's got to be greater faith, folks. And it's not just going to happen. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And increased faith comes from hearing the Word of God in an increasing way. What about this matter of fellowship? As we've said, we're going to be talking a lot about this matter of fellowship and about the need for us to spend time with each other. Sue, I don't know if Brad's here today. I can't see that far anyway, but sometimes on a Sunday night, Brad and the young people and Sue, who's not quite as young, and others will go out to eat. And I'm just honored that they said, you want to come? And I'm often invited. About 2 weeks ago, just right before services started, Brad and I happened to be sitting up on the stage. And he said, five guys, first Sunday night after worship. And I thought about what that means and what it means in my life. I think about Wendy's on Sunday night. I've, in times past, we've been up there and just right up the road here. And I don't know how many times Chad has said to me, you're going to Wendy's tonight? You're going to Wendy's tonight? Chad, I'll bet there's 50 times you've asked me, are you going to Wendy's? You know why? Because we love to be with each other. You see, I need Chad in my life. I don't know if he needs me in his, but I need him in my life. But you know what's happened with us? We're not having nearly as many congregational dinners together as we used to have. Think back. This past year, how many times were we together, eating together as a congregation? And so there are plans that are being made to ensure that there will be congregational periods together. Folks, it takes effort, but we need fellowship. You hear me? You may not need your brethren, but your brethren need you. We're also going to be introducing this year a new program somewhat like our agape groups, and we'll be talking about it It's a brand new way of doing it. It's an old, brand new way of doing it. And when you hear the word cornerstones, you'll understand of the smaller groups that are involved. That's not a program we're going to spend a lot of time talking about today. But in this new year, you need to have folks over in your house. Those folks that place membership. Those folks that are babes in Christ. Because you need them, and they need you. Fellowship. And then in this matter of renewal and commitment, I want every member of this congregation to know that this year, a deacon is going to call you. He's going to offer you a job. He's going to offer you a place to get involved in this work. Every member. From the newest convert like Danielle, who was baptized this last week. How great it is to see our teens obey the gospel. Danielle, we love you so much and the commitment that you've made. To those who've been in the church for years, the deacons have committed themselves to call every member of this church this year and to say, here's a job, can you do this? And if it's not something you want to do, just say, no, I don't think I can handle that. But there's a second question. The deacon is going to ask you, then where would you like to work in the church this year? You want a living church? You want us, if we make it to the next decade, a year from now? You want this church to be changed? Then make a commitment to God that you're going to do that. And that commitment, the theme for the year is found in Psalms 85. Will you not revive us again? Think of the most glorious day in your life spiritually. Think of how you felt in that time when you were closer to God. Think of the glorious times in this church. Those who were at 36th Street. Remember when we painted that whole building in half a day? You remember when we laid the sod out here in this building? You remember whenever, as you talk about great times in the church, you remember when we moved from that building into this building? You remember the impact that certain events have had in the lives, in your very life, right here in this very building? Then pray to God, revive us again. And when you see the logo that you're going to see in bulletins, understand that it is our desire to build a fire in the heart of every one of us. And the leadership of this church is committed to do the very thing and be a part of that we sing about. Light the fire. And when in this year we sing Revive Us Again more than once, make it a prayer that comes out of your heart that he's praying, God, revive this church. God, light the fire in this church, because it is our desire and our hopes and our devotion to a commitment that this year is a year of revival. And so if you start thinking about the church in the good old days, remember what it was like. Remember this and remember that. Forget about the past. And let's make 2009 the year that generations from now people will say, I remember the year 2009. That was probably the best year of the church. And God being our helper, that's what we plan to do. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, sometimes we are ashamed at the way we've let the fire that burned in our hearts at sometimes not be as intense. And Father, we open up our hearts to you. And with one heart and one mind and one soul, beg that you will come into our hearts and live in this church. Father, we're not what we want to be, but we commit ourselves to you to do better. And help each of us, Father, with an attitude of the fact that I need to increase my faith to get in the Word and to be deeper in the Word than we've ever been. And help us, Father, to learn how to love each other better and to be more committed to making this place as a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. God, help us. We beseech you, Father, help us to honor Christ in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's get to that part of our service that is so important, and that is when we talk about your life with God. We've looked at Psalms 85. We've looked at the New Year's. Look at yourself. Where are you on this scale of things that we, as we go down this list, where are you? Are you a believer? I hope you are. Are you a believer who's made a commitment of your life to Jesus? Repent, the Bible says. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's that commitment. To confess your faith to Jesus. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. And then to let the blood of Jesus wash away every mistake. Of the blood work in add you to the church, to the body, to the kingdom, to the family of God, and then be committed to be full of faith, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known? If I come to the front, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?